Testing, testing. We are back. This is Will Clemens. You're listening to WJRH 104.9 Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. Once again, first time in the air in a while. I'm Will Clemens. This is Hot Take Sports. Here to recap week 13 in the NFL, which I wish I could have watched a whole lot more of, but I was working all day. But that doesn't matter. I still got some opinions. I still got some analysis, some hot takes. Let's dive right into it. So, starting as always with my Jets. What did I see from my Jets? The worst defense ever. The worst defense in the league. An offense that can do some things well, but not enough well. The Jets always suck. It's frustrating. Zach Wilson looked all right, which is a little promising. So did Elijah Moore, considering those are the two big-time rookies they got on the roster. The kicking situation was pretty much laughable. My uncle was at the game. I was texting him. And the fact that they missed both extra points and then went for two, so they scored 18 points off of three touchdowns, was actually hilarious. Or not really. Yeah, so Zach looked all right. He had three touchdowns in like the first quarter, essentially, and then just did nothing the rest of the game, which is starting to feel very reminiscent of Adam Gase, which scares the living wits out of me. But regardless, Jets looked all right on offense. On defense, they gave up points on the seven straight Eagles drives. First seven Eagles drives to a backup quarterback in Gardner Minshew, who is experienced and definitely can play, but like, what the heck is that? C.J. Mosley's got to go. Ashton Davis has got to go, which is a bummer because I thought he was going to be good. Yeah, they need a whole rebuild on offense. What? Did the whole episode just restart? Hopefully not. Well, if it did, you are listening to WJRH 104.9 Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. The counter on the computer here in the studio just restarted. So I'm wondering if the whole program started. I hope not. Regardless, welcome back to Hot Take Sports then. I'm Will Clemens, your host. We were just recapping, if you guys are just joining us now. We are just recapping the Jets, as always, as we start. And I've been off the air for a little while. Been doing a lot of work, seeing family, Thanksgiving. Got a whole lot of things, random things going on that's prevented me from getting down to the studio. But I'm kind of glad in the time frame that I'm coming back, because it's becoming playoff football. We are in December football. It's totally interesting now. Every game has a lot more meaning, except for the Jets games. Those, of course, don't matter anymore. They didn't matter months ago, regardless. But anyways, since I already recapped the Jets, let's just go down the list. Let's talk some games. Bucks beat the Falcons, which is frustrating because it's pretty darn obvious that Tom Brady is going to be the NFL MVP. Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski scored two more touchdowns. I just don't even know how this continues. He's going to be the league MVP. If it wasn't for Kyler Murray getting hurt for about a month and missing, I think it was three games, I think that Kyler Murray would have ran away with it if he continued playing. His injury hindered him. Sadly, it is going to go to Tom Brady. The only person that I think can put up any sort of fight for the MVP would be Aaron Rodgers, but you forget that Aaron Rodgers has that game against the Saints week one in Jacksonville in which he played so miserably, and he also missed that game because of COVID, so he's going to have two less games than Brady. The team may, in fact, be better, but I just don't see a scenario playing out in which it doesn't go to Brady. He threw for four touchdowns, 368 yards yesterday. It's a little frustrating. The Falcons are just the Falcons. They play tough against every good team or above 500 team. And in contrast, when they play these sub 500 teams, they like totally put up stinkers and don't even begin to do any work with it. Yeah, so moving on from there, as we just spoke of Kyler Murray came back for the first time in about a month. He came off the bye week. And with him coming back was also DeAndre Hopkins, who it's funny how their timetable of injuries coincided alongside one another. It's almost as if they didn't want to play without one another. But Kyler Murray just looked awesome. He threw for 123 yards and two touchdowns. He had this only throwing for 15 attempts, but had this one throw to DeAndre Hopkins, corner of the end zone, that was just a dime. He didn't run all too much either. 10 carries for 59 yards, excuse me, with two touchdowns. So four touchdowns total on the day for him. Hopkins hauled in a touchdown. Cardinals are right on track. As for Bears fans, you guys are screaming, and I mean screaming for Matt Nagy's head. I don't know if I agree with you guys, because this will be my hot take. Matt Nagy elevated the level of play of Mitch Trubisky, who, as we can see, is a backup in this league, just an extremely... His talent had gave him such a defined ceiling of where he was going to go as a quarterback in the NFL, that the fact that Matt Nagy brought him to, was it three? He was 12-4 his first rookie season with him. And I think he went to three playoffs with him. That's not easy. He can coach offense pretty well. So now he's back again with another rookie. So imagine giving Matt Nagy a stable offense with a proven quarterback. I believe he would do something well with it. But I understand where Bears fans are coming from, because as a Jets fan, I would be just as emotionally upset if my team just kept losing in embarrassing ways like this. But I say let Matt Nagy coach for his job the rest of the season. So he's got the Packers, Vikings, Seahawks, Giants, and Vikings again left on the schedule. That's four divisional opponents and the Giants. Let him coach for his job. If he gets three or four wins, you can keep it. But if he's losing the whole way out, then I understand. He can see the door. The next game that was pretty interesting, a tale of two teams that are right in the wild card hunt for the AFC. It played out as a very interesting, dramatic game, was the Chargers versus the Bengals in Cincinnati. Justin Herbert balled out. 317 yards, three touchdowns. They were up big. I remember checking my phone on the water while I was working. 24-0 Chargers, like, early in the second quarter. I was like, what the heck? This game is going to be a blowout. Burrow did his best to bring them back into the game, even making it, like, a two-point game at one point. And they were going for the two-point conversion to tie it up. And it's funny because then Herbert was like, all right, what am I doing here? And they get a scoop and score. And from that point on, it was pretty much done deal. Congrats to the Chargers. They go to 7-5. They are solidly in the hunt for the AFC wild card. They even are only a game back behind the Chiefs. And they play again in 2 weeks, which is the Thursday night game. Wow, that's one heck of a Thursday night game. So we'll see if Herbert can get something done, because as we'll talk about later, Mahomes is just not looking like himself. And they get a gimme versus the Giants next week. So that should make for a very interesting Thursday night football game 2 weeks from now. Hopefully I come back to the studio. It's going to be difficult because I'm going to be off campus starting next week after finals conclude. But I'm going to try my best to keep updating, maybe posting on Twitter during games and stuff like that. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Willie Clems. Congrats to Justin Herbert and the Chargers, because they typically lose those games against pretty good opponents in very Charger-esque ways. The next game, man. I think that just about everybody in the world, except for the state of Minnesota, was rooting for the Lions last night. They were wearing those cool gray jerseys, and everybody roots for Dan Campbell because he's just such a personable guy. The fact that he's like crying at the podium when he loses, and the way he talks in the quote-unquote football guy kind of manner, he cares so much about the team, and he lays a good foundation, and they're in every game. So for those reasons, I do totally support and back Dan Campbell and all of his coaching methods. But, man, they are so not talented. They played so many close games as of recent. Their last three, going back to when they, following a blowout against the Eagles, they tied the Steelers in overtime, obviously, which was a game that they easily could have won. And then they lost by three to the Browns, which was another game that they could have won. And then they lost by two to the Bears, who did that game-winning field goal drive on Thanksgiving all the way running down the field. So it seemed like they were just getting closer and closer, inching closer to a win, and just receiving body blows at the end of every game. And it looked like that was going to shape out that way. I mean, Kirk Cousins let a drive down the field right before they got the ball back. So Jared Goff stood at his own 25 with no timeouts and a minute and 45 seconds to go after Kirk Cousins drove them down the field to take the lead with a pass to Justin Jefferson. And it was just totally awesome to see Jared Goff just slice that defense. He had an amazing reaction. So did Matt Campbell, especially at the podium. He was all fired up. And I wouldn't even be surprised if the Lions find a way to win another game in their next upcoming one. So they got the Broncos, which could most definitely be competitive. And they got the Falcons, the Seahawks, coming up in their schedule. So the Packers in week 18, in which the Packers could be resting a lot of their starters. So don't be surprised if the Lions start to build from this. And it would be really interesting because Dan Campbell can get some momentum in his career if he starts winning some of these games at the end of the year. They're not going to think that, oh, wow, this season went entirely to waste. No, they are laying the foundation, laying the bricks at the end of the season to show some progress of creating the culture. Yeah, so congrats to Jared Goff and all the Lions. Congrats to the rookie receiver that scored that touchdown, Amon-Ra. You guys deserved it after fighting your butts off all these weeks. And it honestly feels good to not see a winless team in the NFL this year. I was rooting so hard for the Lions. Next game up on the list, I can pretty much skip over it. The Colts destroyed the Texans. The Colts are going to probably make the AFC playoffs. They get a bye next week, and then they will come back against the Patriots, which will be an awesome game. Wow, they have a difficult schedule down the stretch. Taking on the Patriots, Cardinals, Raiders, and Jaguars. Forgive that Jaguars last game. That's an easy one. But those other three will definitely make it difficult to make the AFC wild card, but I believe that they'll get there. That's a game that you can pretty much skip over. 31-0 over the Texans. The Giants played the Dolphins, and the Dolphins, wow, they have come from the bottom of the abyss, losing to the Bills week 8, I believe, and have won 6 straight games from 1-7 to 6-7, where they are now in the playoff hunt, and Tua is just playing awesome football, where he's kind of a game manager, kind of just game regulates, but he's effective, and he doesn't turn the ball over, and he's accurate with his passes, and he plays in a way just like Mac Jones does, and the whole Miami team just plays very similar-esque way to New England, which is all correlated just because Brian Flores comes from that Belichick tree. Like, they don't put up astounding numbers, or points, but that is a very impressive fact that even when they're at the bottom of the abyss, they just keep stacking up wins. So we'll see what they can do going forward. I mean, they got the Jets next week, which, honestly, I'm at this point with the Jets, I want just Zach Wilson to have good games and make some progress, but I don't want them to win. They need so much help on the defense that those two defensive draft picks being high could totally help us. So I hope that the Jets lose that game, and I hope the Dolphins win. Then they end the season with Saints, Titans, Patriots. So just say the Dolphins win out or win 3 of 4, there's good chance they can make the AFC 7 seed. Congrats to the Dolphins. Let's see what they can do with it. They might, once again, though, be the first team out of the playoff picture. And that pretty much wraps up the early window. The early window I didn't really get to pay as much attention to as I would have liked because I was driving home from work and working. But the later window had some awesome, awesome, awesome games. The one that I enjoyed the most was the Washington versus Vegas game. Just because with the Jets being so horrible, I'm really on board the Washington football team bandwagon just because I find them such a silly team almost, where Taylor Heinicke isn't that good and they have kind of have no future with him going forward there. And their defense is all sorts of beaten up, but they just keep winning games in like impressive, very close fashion. And now they're in the playoffs. They're in a playoff position. I really fell on this bandwagon last week when they beat the Seahawks because, as I've discussed before on the show, I'm rooting against the Seahawks in everything they do this year. I hope that they do so poorly that the Jets pick is so high. And so, yeah, with the Jets being so bad, this has been my team to root for. Their new uniforms I actually think are awesome. They look beautiful. Especially with the ones they wore last week against Seattle. But yeah, they have won by the score of 17 to 15 the past 2 weeks, which is pretty interesting. And Taylor Heinicke led a game-winning field goal drive at the end of the game. That kicker that just joined the team yesterday, Brian Johnson, that was ice in his veins type of kick. So congrats to the football team. They have a whole lot of divisional opponents. They have 5 straight divisional opponents going forward to determine whether they're going to make the playoffs or not. So they have Dallas next weekend, followed by Philly, then Dallas again, then Philly again, then the Giants, which is a really interesting schedule. But if they can string together 3-2 record out of that, they most likely will go to the playoffs in the 7 seed for the NFC, especially after you see what's happened to like Carolina and stuff like that. Moving on, late window games. I thought this game was going to be a heck of a lot closer, but the Rams had their get-right game after 3 straight losses to the Titans, 49ers, and Packers. They had their get-right game against the Jaguars, and I actually thought that Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars were going to put up more of a fight than this, but man, they just got clobbered. So the Rams get a get-right game. Very useful because they have a pretty difficult schedule going up, a lot of divisional opponents. Their game against the Cardinals next week is Monday Night Football. I think that'll be my last day on campus before finals, which is going to be so difficult to attempt to not watch it with a big psychology final the next day. Yeah, so congrats to the Rams, I guess. You guys are supposed to win that game, so yeah, you congrats. The worst game, I can say it was worst, it was just horribly not entertaining, but ended up at the end to be thrilling, was the Steelers versus Ravens game, where the Ravens were in sole possession of the first place spot in the AFC prior to coming into this game. And all they had to do was win, and they would hold on to that spot. And it's really interesting, the identity that John Harbaugh gives his football team, because being down a touchdown, they go down and score with like about 20 seconds left, so they're down 1, and they have the best field goal kicker in the entire NFL who could pretty much guarantee you a tie game and heading into overtime against a pretty immobile, kind of washed up Big Ben and Steelers team. But he was playing really well. He was playing for his job pretty much yesterday. And John Harbaugh's identity, as we saw he did it week 2 against the Chiefs. And for a lot of this season, just in general, he's been very He's been very adamant for the kind of go for it mentality. So kudos to him for staying true to his nature. But it's, and he, the play call was there, and Mark Andrews was right there running across the goal line. And if it was a couple inches closer to him, they would have won the game. That's, it's so crazy when you see games end up like that. Congrats to the Steelers, I guess. Although if Lamar Jackson threw it 6 inches closer, it would have been a touchdown and you got, or a 2-point conversion, you guys would have lost. But the Steelers somehow now keep themselves alive in the playoff race. Baltimore slips down to make this game tonight even all the more important. Baltimore is a, I don't know, something's up with them. Kind of like the Chiefs have been. I'm just in general kind of don't see a major powerhouse in the AFC right now. We'll get to that later. But they have some games that are very interesting going forward. A very difficult schedule, actually. They play the Browns, who they just beat last week in a very ugly game. Their offense, just in general, for Baltimore has looked so stagnant. And in comparison to the past years of Lamar Jackson running all over these teams and just doing whatever he wants to manipulate the game, it's interesting to see how he just doesn't, he just doesn't have that ability right now. It's not a slump, and he's working harder than anybody, but we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But so anyways, they play the Browns, who will be an interesting rematch, especially for since the Browns are coming off the bye, and they should be a lot healthier. Then the Packers, another very difficult game. Then the Bengals, who beat them up the first time they played. Then the Rams, so another extremely difficult game, followed by the Steelers. So the Ravens might have the most difficult schedule in the NFL going forward. They don't play any gimme teams. They're 8-4 right now. They're pretty much a playoff lock. But if they really want to succeed, they're going to need to have some home field advantage and possibly a bye. I just don't think they're going to get that anymore, especially after this loss. If they get right, they could be a Super Bowl contender just because the AFC is kind of down. But I don't see it happening. Next game that happens, I feel like we can quickly gloss over this. I mean, San Francisco is playing for their lives, and Jimmy Garoppolo is playing for his career, and yet they still stunk it up. Frustrating for me. I was watching this just freaking out because I really could have used a San Francisco win to make Seattle's pick worse. Regardless, whatever. The goal line stop for Seattle at the end of the game sealed up the win for them. Congrats, even though I don't think that they're going anywhere, especially with their current record and their games looking forward ahead. Yeah, but congrats to Seattle, even though I'm pretty upset about it. And then the Sunday night game last night, to be completely honest, it didn't invigorate me at all. And I spent all my time studying and then sleeping rather than watching it, which is very, very rare. But this Denver team just doesn't excite me. It doesn't get my eyes to the television because they have no quarterback. So many times we've talked about this on the show. When you have no quarterback, you have nothing. I don't even want to watch you play. And just looking at the highlights and reading the analysis, Mahomes arguably was worse than Teddy. That's not a good sign. Mahomes is in a slump right now. Will he get out of it? Yes. But regardless, Kansas City won 22-9. They're now atop the AFC alongside the Titans, the Patriots, and the Bills. Sorry, I don't can't remember off the top of my head. And Baltimore, excuse me, we just talked about them. So a four-way tie, making tonight's game all the more important. I'm very excited for tonight's game. Yeah, so I guess congrats to the Chiefs on getting their 8th win of the season. The last game of the week comes tonight, which actually stands alone and is probably more important than all the rest combined. It's forecasted to be snowy and kind of rainy and wet weather, but that just is going to be an awesome environment. Monday Night Football, divisional rivalry in my division. Once again, not playing for it as a Jets fan. Regardless, the Patriots at 8-4 play the Bills at 7-4, and whoever wins this takes control of the division in a standalone game. It's going to be Mac Jones' second primetime game versus the Buffalo Bills, who are probably the most hot and cold team in the NFL. They can win by, when they win by more than 25 on average, at least 15. And when they lose, they just put up stinker games, like against the Jaguars or against the Colts. So this game is incredibly vital due to the fact that if the Patriots win, they take the sole position of first place in the AFC, which pains me to say. I hate the Patriots. But you can't doubt progress and results, meaning that Mac Jones and Bill Belichick are working. That seems like we've known that for a good little while now. Buffalo is actually 3-point favorites. And most bettors are betting on New England. They think that the Sharks are wrong. So this will be such an interesting game. I'm actually really excited. I'm going to try to get out of the studio here right now, quickly finish up all my homework and studying so I can watch most of this game. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, so that is the biggest one of the game. If we want to preview week 14 next week, Saints play the Jets. That doesn't matter at all. Steelers-Vikings will be interesting on Thursday. Both of those teams are pretty much a must-win. I think Cowboys-Washington will be a great game. Washington's really hot right now. And Bears-Packers, again, is always a fun game. That's Sunday Night Football. And just it pretty much all comes down to the Monday Night Football game, Rams-Cardinals. That'll be so vital for that NFC West playoff picture. But something that also happened this weekend in sports was conference championship games for football. And I was lucky enough to pretty much watch all of them with exception to the Big 12 game, which ironically turned out to be by far the best game, in which Baylor had an amazing four-play goal line stop where they stopped Oklahoma State by a matter of inches of hitting the pylon. And Oklahoma State was playing for a playoff berth, essentially. And it's crazy when you see those moments where the whole entire outcomes of games and playoffs and situations comes down to a matter of inches. The Baylor Bears, that is an unbelievable play at the end of the game where he beats him to the pylon. There was a late PI call that brought him down to the goal line, so it was almost a ball don't lie kind of moment. They stand alone atop the Big 12. Congrats to Dave Aranda. I can't believe that this hire has worked out so incredibly well, but they play stout defense. I mean, they held this Oklahoma State team, who was that crazy rushing attack, to just 16 points. I mean, they picked off the quarterback for Oklahoma State four times. The defense was sharp, as they always are. It's going to be interesting with all these coaching vacancies now in the college football world to see if Dave Aranda gets any buzz. I think that he should. I think that actually the Oklahoma job was just filled yesterday with Brett Venables, which is a great coach for them regardless. But I'm surprised that not more work was brought in to investigate Dave Aranda coming to Norman. Speaking of that, there's a whole lot of coaching carousel stuff you could talk about. A game I did watch on Friday, in which what has happened to Oregon, man? Oregon had the biggest fall from grace on this planet, man. They started off the year so hot, running all over Ohio State in the big, in the shoe. It was one of the most dominant performances. I watched that game firsthand. The Fox crew was calling it, so I love watching those games on the noon windows. And Oregon just ran right down the mouth of Ohio State. And everybody was thinking, man, this team is going to be legit. A few weeks later, they lose to Stanford. That was embarrassing. But regardless, a one last Pac-12 team can most of the time, as long as they win the Pac-12, make the college football playoff. So it was a win-out kind of mentality. If you win out, you'll go. And they won some ugly close games against Cal and UCLA. And then eventually they were playing against Utah in essentially back-to-back weeks for a spot in the college football playoff because they had to win out. And when they played at Utah, they got rolled 38-7. And then they played a rivalry kind of get right game where they played Oregon State, which they play every year on rivalry week, and they handled their business. So that led them to be playing the Utah Utes again. And once again, Utah dropped 38 points on them. Kyle Whittingham at Utah has done a phenomenal job with the program, and he should be getting looks from other of these coaching vacancies. But that was Oregon has been embarrassing in the backside of this year. They are playing Oklahoma in probably what would be called the disappointment bowl of this of the season, but it's actually called the Valero Alamo Bowl. I don't even know who will win that because both of these teams had such extreme falls from grace. There's a whole lot of buzz that their coach Mario Cristobal is going to take the Miami job. That would be detrimental to the program, but then there's also people that say Phil Knight will just pay anything to keep him there. So that'll be interesting to see. Manny Diaz was fired just a matter of hours ago. So we'll see where that goes. A game I did watch and actually turned off because it was so much of a blowout was the SEC Championship, in which six-point underdogs Alabama, you don't say that often, destroyed one of the best defenses in college football. Georgia previously was giving up 6 points a game, and they dropped 41 on them. Stetson Bennett is not going to get them done. It's going to be interesting to see who is Georgia going to go with at quarterback because they have a whole month to prep for this game. They are now in the college football playoff playing Michigan. I think Michigan matches up pretty well. They got a whole lot of pass rushers. They got a very solid defense, and I think their offense is far more explosive. Although they're playing that awesome Georgia defense, I think they'll be able to move the ball. They've been very creative as of late, but you can't go with Stetson Bennett out there. So you could go with JT Daniels again. He was hurt. It's interesting. It's a quarterback dilemma. Yeah, but congrats to Alabama, man. Bryce Young looked phenomenal. He's going to win the Heisman now, pretty obviously. And then the only other game of pretty much any relevance, I was planning on watching with my free time, heading back from spending time with my family. I was like, oh, this is going to be a great night. I'm going to sit and I'm going to watch the Michigan versus Iowa game. And it was just utterly a blowout. 42-3, Michigan rolled. I mean, they did kind of tack it on at the end. So this score isn't all reflecting of how unbalanced it was, but yeah. So this brings me to my gripe with the college football playoff committee. Michigan, after that win, has to be ranked number one, considering Alabama only beat Auburn by 2 points the week prior. A six-win Auburn team who, at the time, only had 5 wins and got physically manhandled and pushed all around the field for three quarters and 13 minutes of that game. People have such quick memories after you watch a team dominate another team's like Alabama destroying Georgia that they totally forgot about what happened a week prior, because if that was a loss, Alabama would not have been the one seed, and they were minutes away from having to be a loss. I understand it's a rivalry game and records kind of go out the window for that, but come on. So my whole thought process is that Michigan should have been the one seed. They've been the best team in the country as of late, and then followed by Alabama staying at two, who just beat Georgia number three. They seems pretty clear to me that they valued not having a rematch in the first round of the playoffs more than they did ranking the teams based on actual merits. I think that was their whole reason for doing so. So that's my gripe. But another thing we got to talk about is Cincinnati won the AAC championship and the first group of five team is going to make the college football playoff. Yay! So the college football playoff is set. Every other bowl game is pretty much irrelevant. But I know that when I'm home with my buddies, I'm going to watch them when we're bored. So bowl season is upon us. Hope everyone listening and their families are doing well. The last thing I just want to get into is my Knicks' utter fall from grace. They have been playing some bad basketball. And the reason, part of the reason that I'm a Knicks fan is my favorite player in the NBA, Kemba Walker. He joined the team this past offseason, and he was in the starting role. And man, he has been awful this year. He has not played. And so much so that Thibodeau doesn't even rotate him into the games anymore. He just sits on the bench and goes on road trips and stuff. Sad to see. His knee injury really that he attained in Charlotte really did hurt him so much that now he can't even see the floor on a mediocre team. It's going to be sad. I hope they don't trade him at the deadline, but I could totally see that being a possibility. Such a good story for him to go home. So the Knicks got a whole lot of things they got to get right. Julius Randle has been so bad recently. I don't know if that includes you have to trade Randle. He's been their leading scorer, but he just hasn't been doing it. It's the other guys that are just so much more vital to the team's success, including Evan Fournier and RJ Barrett and Obi Toppin, D Rose. These players that really don't offer all too much. Like they are like BC level players. And yet they're so vital to this team's success, and just not enough emphasis is put on them. And I still think that Kemba has value. He's still productive, and him on the court with Julius Randle was awful. So there could be some way where you rotate him in just in the times where Randle isn't on the court. I don't know. I'm just troubleshooting at this point. We'll see what adjustments Thibodeau makes. They play tomorrow. I'm not too worried until Christmas starts is my general rule with NBA ball. Another fun thing, I'm a Rangers fan. They're playing out of their skulls. That's pretty much all. Recapped it today. I want to go and get some work done, so I think I'm going to head out of the studio a little bit early. It's good. I've been gotten a lot better at using the equipment and getting on the air at the correct time. I've often struggled with getting on the air by 4, but did a pretty good job of it today. I'm getting better with the equipment here in the studio. So I'd like to thank you guys all for listening. Pretty much you guys, awesome group of supporters. Just in general, you are listening to WJRH 104.9 Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This has been the fourth iteration of Hot Take Sports. I hope to be on the air again next week. But if not, thank you for an awesome semester. And this is Will Clemens signing off. Thank you.